listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
Hey now, this is RJ Bell. You heard it live, coast to coast, 200 radio stations. Yep, that's right. It's 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Las Vegas. Action-packed Friday for you. I'm rested up, ready to go. And boy, there's two different kinds of shows. To me, one of our advantages, Straight Out of Vegas, and I've heard this from you guys, I believe it. It might be counterintuitive. It's the fact that we have only, and I'm going to say that in quotes, only 1 hour a day. It's that hour, the pregame show you always wanted, as Jonas likes to say. Now, why isn't it an advantage, right? Two would be better than one. To me, you cut away the fat. If you listen to even the best of the best radio guys, when they're doing 3 hours sometimes in May and June, you're starting to hear about their lunch, a lot of things. And hey, if you tell a good story about lunch, I'm all in. So for us with the hour, there's usually two types of shows. There's the, hey, there's 20 things to get to. Let's pick the 10 most important and rapid fire, get to the key points. And then there's today's show, which is a deep dive into one of the big surprises of the sports year. And not so much the fact that Toronto won the game. Yeah, they were the underdog. They weren't supposed to win. But if you were to impute it out the math, wasn't that big of an upset. It's the fact that today's conversation in every talk show that matters is, boy, we were premature about how good Giannis was. Because the feeling was, I mean, a week ago or less, that this may be the best player in the NBA. And now, today, Colin Cowherd, who I think obviously a leader of the pack when it comes to talk shows, he's talking about, hey, Giannis is second tier. It's not even, is he the best player? It's, he's not even among the best players because of the limits in his game. We're going to examine that question because, boy, it's a big one. We've got the right team to do it. The pros who know. Steve Fezzik, NBA expert. Brad Powers. All the college knowledge. And in L.A., and remember, you can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ, on a Friday here on Straight Out of Vegas. And we're going to start with, yes, the surprise, as the Toronto Raptors beat the Milwaukee Bucks last night to take a 3-2 series lead in Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals. 105-99, the final. Toronto just one game away from the NBA Finals.
Ooh, dog. Now, Fez, you and I have a bet on this.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't really been talking too much about it. I can't lie. We'll get to that. And you, I mean, when it comes to matters of the heart, is that bigger than matters of the pocketbook? We've all got to decide that for ourselves. But with Steve, he has his pocketbook on the line, Fez does, and his heart. Well, it was on the line. We're going to get to that, too. But first, let's get to the global question. The global question. Though, if based on my Twitter feed, at RJ in Vegas, Fez's heart is much more interesting than how good Giannis really is. But let's get to that first. That's the question. Would you agree, Steve Fezzik, that a week ago, that as many people, especially with Durant going in one direction, down arrow with the perception, the number of people that would stand up and scream, Kevin Durant is the best player in the NBA, decreased significantly in the last couple weeks. Now, people will mumble, yeah, you know, blah, 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 blah. But at the end, they're pretty much saying, I don't want to necessarily flip-flop, but I don't want to really back my opinion with too much vigor or money. Will we agree down arrow Durant when it comes to public perception?
Absolutely.
And up until a week ago, let's say, it was more, much more up arrow Giannis. And yeah, up arrow Kawhi, but it was an afterthought. It was like, let's talk 3 minutes about Giannis and mention, oh, by the way, Kawhi's mighty good. And any sense that the missed year was going to really hinder him, that we're fine. Kawhi's, you know, top one of the top 10 in the NBA. But he really was the afterthought. It was really Milwaukee has the slightly better superstar. Milwaukee has the slightly better, if not more so, bench. And thus, Milwaukee should be the clear favorite. Steve Fezzik, what were we wrong about? Or is it like anything else that one game? Because if Milwaukee wins that game, this whole conversation is different. Yeah, Kawhi's able to, you know, but boy, in game three, it took double overtime to win a must-win game. One more foul shot, Milwaukee's, you know, wins this series 4-1. I think the odds are, if Milwaukee would have won yesterday, which wouldn't have taken all that much, that we would have today at some point, someone, probably Fezzik, would have said, you know, if they would have won game three, like they could have easily, Milwaukee would have won this thing 4-1, right or wrong?
Right.
All right. So were we wrong, or is it just one game can go any way and overreacting to it's a mistake?
Well, I think we should react to it. And what we should react to is the fact that Giannis clearly appears to be uncomfortable when the pace of the game slows. So when you watch both of these superstars in the half court offense, Kawhi Leonard looks super comfortable, can lead that offense effectively, and Giannis is struggling.
Okay, now, what I tend to do is establish frameworks of how I think about certain things. NBA playoffs being an example. We spent real time right here on Straight Out of Vegas, and that's what I'm always kind of wringing my hands about. I want to have fun. I want to provide good winning information. But sometimes, and we try to keep this to 5, 6, 7 minutes at a time, it's got to be more like an instructional class. If you don't know how to bet the NBA or even watch the NBA playoffs, the playoffs versus the regular season, and remember, sports bettors, they're here for the money, but sports fans are here to know more than their buddies. We're going to teach both of you the way that Vegas at least looks at these things. Isn't one of the basic premises, and I'm saying this rhetorically, Fezzik, that there's less running in the playoffs, thus more half court, and defense is more intense?
Absolutely.
So why was it that a week ago you were so high on Milwaukee, even though we're now saying almost as if it was obvious all along, oh, pace of the game slows in the playoffs. Look at the stats from Milwaukee. When the pace of the game slows, they're in trouble. I didn't hear that until just now.
Yeah, and I think where...
Uh-oh, he's slowing down.
Where I was wrong about Milwaukee was that let's look at their path. They got to go ahead and crush Detroit. Very fast-paced games. Detroit never tried to slow it down.
And the case could be made that Detroit is one of the worst playoff teams of the last decade.
Yep. Yep. All right. And then they play Boston. And remember, you got all those scores for Boston. They seemed like they just wanted to run up the court and get their shots off. Boston never seemed to slow it down as well. So a really good path for Milwaukee to look so good early on in the playoffs.
Okay, so now under that theory, the change, the revelation would have happened when they started playing Toronto. But they win game one, Milwaukee. They win game two. As you said here, Steve Fezzik, at extended length, they almost won game three. So is it that somehow Toronto was slowing them down, but they still somehow won? Like, I get if I was asking you, if somehow Toronto won this series easily, what you just explained could make sense. There was a fundamental change that Toronto made playing Milwaukee in this hypothetical that the first two teams they faced in the playoffs didn't make that change. And once they did, the flaw was exposed. But Lordy B, you seem much more optimistic about Milwaukee after game three than you were entering the series. So explain.
Because Toronto was showing all kinds of problems. The Toronto bench.
Showing all kind of problems. Oh, so they had deficiencies, Toronto.
Yes. The Toronto bench was playing just egregiously bad, and they were only basically playing three guys on their bench. And Kawhi Leonard was appeared to be getting worn down and not playing
like a
superstar.
But that's exactly. Whoa. What game didn't he play like a superstar?
In game four.
You mean the game in which he shut down? They won. In game four when they won by 18 points?
Well, he only scored 19 points. He was very good defensively.
I mean, is it this simple now? We're going to take the scoring average and we're going to subtract or add and say a plus minus is a sign of how good. Because this isn't pre-sabermetrics. This is like pre-newspapers.
Fair enough. The bench.
But then why are you saying that?
Because I thought that Kawhi was going to continue possibly to get worse with the way he had appeared to look worn down in games three and four. But the bench was really the problem for Toronto. Toronto's bench was horrendous.
And I think one thing we need to really just wrap our arms around is these little jags of thoughts that you have that are backed by nothing, they need to be, hey, I'm going to throw out for 20 seconds. Like Colin today, and I thought he did an excellent job on this. He was talking about, and this is right here on Fox Sports Radio, like Straight Out of Vegas. Colin was talking about, why does the West dominate so much? Did you hear that today, Brian?
I did not.
And he was talking about that it's his theory that the warm weather, when this is a winter sport, the NBA, is such a draw that you're not going to choose to go to Boston or Philadelphia as much as you might if it were a summer sport where you could be out of town for the winter, let's say like baseball mostly. So, but then he said, though, he goes, listen, I don't know. He goes, that's my theory. And to me, that was so comforting because there is a culture in talk radio. You want to act like you're sure about everything. And what that does is diminish the things you are sure about, right? So to me, I poo-pooed that Kawhi talk. I didn't know how healthy or unhealthy he was. I just know that other than last year, which was the aberrations of aberrations, the way Kawhi responded, the conflict with the Spurs, it was so out of character, at least from the distance that I've perceived his character as a Spurs fan when Tim Duncan was there especially, that other than that, this is one of the toughest players, if not the toughest player of this generation, I would say. I felt like you could drop Kawhi from a 15-foot ladder and he would stand up, say, maybe my knee feels, all right, let's go, let's keep playing. And that'd be like a practice. He never felt like when he, you know, when certain players go down, you're like worried. I think LeBron, you know, pre this year perhaps, and Kawhi were the two. If they went down, you weren't thinking they just blew out their
knee. I agree with that.
Right? So if our bet is on Kawhi Leonard physically being limited, boy, I don't think not that he's never had an injury, but he's certainly not an often injured player. To me, what the issue was, and we'll examine this when we come back, what the issue was in this series is Kawhi moving to Giannis. And I just don't know how. And again, Steve, you're right more than you're wrong. And if you and I go head-to-head in the NBA, I'm a big underdog long-term, no doubt about it. But what really confused me, and we'll address this when we come back, and some matters of the heart with Steve, is the question is, to me, how we could see the whole regular season, Giannis is dominating. Probably the MVP. First round of the playoff dominate. Second round of the playoff dominate. The first three games of this series.
First two.
Oh, so the switch happened before game.
Yeah,
so
game
the game three.
Three
when he shut him down was the game that went to double OT. Okay.
Yep.
So the first two games, thank you, of this series. oh, he's playing really well, Giannis. And then there's one change. One thing's different. And game three,
yep,
not so good. Game four, not so good. So entering game five, to act like that was just it was a coincidence that maybe the best defender in the NBA has gone on him and he's not playing near as well, that seemed like a big issue. So, yeah, pace might be part of it. But if Giannis has his typical game, if we look at the margin of victory yesterday, is it bigger or smaller than the difference between Giannis's typical elite game and what he played? And if it's not bigger, then it means the difference in Giannis was the difference between winning and losing. We'll talk about that and Fezzik's on again, off again, love affair with Van Vliet.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Right out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, an interesting situation that came up late in last night's game between the Raptors and the Bucks.
It's our pleasure to have you join us each weekday. We have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, 78 degrees. The neon is coursing. By the way, Jonas, voice of the Fan, one of my faves when it comes to the square perspective. Now, that might seem like, you know, damning with faint praise, but understanding what the fans are thinking helps you understand the betting market. And to me, it needs to be said once or twice. Sometimes the betting market reacts in a way that is nonsensical. And that's when the real bets happen. You know, Fez, if you know, we were debating Kawhi, you know, a couple shows ago, and the change of him defending Giannis, would it matter? You thought not really. This was on the podcast, now I think about it. And we were like, I was pretty much pounding my fist, like, you're ignoring something here that's really big. And you just kind of shook your head. You know, I was right in that case. It's going to be 50-50 or maybe your advantage, I think probably in the NBA, over the long run. But it was a reasonable disagreement. Reasonable people could disagree. Sometimes when the public, all the Jonases, or the lesser Jonases, I would say, that don't watch with quite the astuteness that Jonas does, is they see some recent results and it's like, OMG, I'm changing my mind. You know, not 360 degrees, but 180 degrees. And if we look at game four, it really is an example of sometimes you're going to have an opinion. Maybe you put some pizza money on it. And sometimes it's going to be like, this doesn't make sense. And I see why the betting market, has the opinion they do. It just doesn't make sense to me. So quickly, just to kind of, one, make that point that you're going to have your, you know, hey, I think we got a little edge on this bet, and a reasonable professional could disagree. And then there's like, I don't see any way a pro could bet this side. I could see passing, maybe. Because what we had was Toronto in game three, first game at home, down 0-2, motivation through the roof, and they were favored by what, Fed?
2.5.
All right. And then they were 2.5-point underdogs in game four.
Bet up to +3.
Well, okay. Wow. So think about that a second. About 5 or more points of change. And what changed between game three and four? You could make the case that Toronto underperformed a smidge in game three. To have to go to overtime to win was probably not what we expected. If you're a 2.5-point favorite, if you're a 2.5-point favorite, that is about overtime, right? It's a tight game. The fact they won it was the key. And then what else? I don't know. You could say that somehow, some way, Toronto's motivation was less in game four than game three, but if they lost, the series was pretty much over. So it still was another must win. So maybe give, I mean, this is like wild. Let's give a half a point between game three and four to Milwaukee because Toronto underperformed a little bit. And give a half a point for the relative motivation not being such an advantage for Toronto. So maybe 2.5 becomes 1.5. The idea that they were getting 3 points was literally nonsensical. But we understood why. Everyone watched the game, and they said, wow, it took so, you know, there was 80 ways they could have lost this game. They won. They got lucky. But, boy, Milwaukee's just a better team. And that fundamental mistake offered a great bet. Now, that great bet wouldn't have won every game. It might win 55, 56, 57%. You know, your best bets are going to move towards 60 if you're good at this. So remember, guys, sometimes we're going to be talking about half points of disagreement, and sometimes the fans out there are just playing wrong, but they do affect the betting market. So, Jonas, with your eyes of the fans, what did you see in the game? In particular, Giannis, is he a superstar or not? And the end of that game.
I think his conditioning is an issue. He was out late in a sequence in the game, and he appeared to roll his ankle slightly when defending Kawhi Leonard late. And so while he was out, I mean, this was a crucial part of the game, less than a minute to go, if I'm not mistaken. Even Chris Webber and Reggie Miller asking, why is he out of the game? And the speculation was, well, is he injured? Mike Budenholzer, his head coach afterwards, said, yeah, I took him out because he looked like he was really injured. Well, if you have a really bad ankle injury, you probably should go sit down and take weight off that ankle. He didn't sit down. He was sort of standing up next to the scores table. I think he needed a breath. I think he needed to catch his breath because I think Kawhi Leonard is grinding him down in this series.
But and Kawhi was injured, wasn't he?
Yeah, oh, of course. Yeah, of course, to the expert. Mm. Yes, the quad injury expert.
Somehow he limped his way through, yes, running Giannis into the ground.
But there was a point.
Fez, go.
Kawhi, well, look.
Let's give Fez his chance.
I was worried Kawhi might have gangrene in game four, and he stayed out there. I mean, he clearly looked like he was injured, and he didn't exit the game.
See, I think the thing Steve Fezzik does, and again, you do so much right, but I think you're, do we want to say, we'll just say non-alpha approach to life. You know, like there's certain people, if they put their hand through glass, they're going to spit on it, put a piece of newspaper on it and some scotch tape and go on their way. And then there's people like you where you would get a tetanus shot. You'd have you'd have like a plastic surgeon come in and decide what kind of stitching they were going to do so you didn't have a little inch scar on your wrist. These guys are pretty tough. I know it's easy to sit there on the radio and kind of critique them, but I mean, against normal human beings, these guys are tough. And Kawhi's as tough as any of them from what I can see. Let me pose something to you, Jonas. I've got a different opinion. Watching the end of the game, reading the game reports, recaps, it felt like that the coach sensed Kawhi was frustrating Giannis and that he, like, remember, if you're watching Giannis play every play, you're the coach of the team, you know your player. We've all had experiences playing sports. And like Brad is a super easy guy to work with. But that you can tell when he's getting worked up about something. He doesn't always lift his head all that much anyway, but he'll tuck his chin even deeper in his chest and he starts breathing a little more labored. You never heard me say that, but you're saying, you know, actually, I did do that, don't you? Yeah. You start getting upset about stuff. When you're around someone all the time, you know. And to me, I think Giannis was getting so frustrated that he figured, yeah, we're better off with Giannis on the court typically. We might even be better off with Giannis on the court now. But if he makes a big mistake that frustrates him even more, it might ruin him for the rest of this series. Let's take our chances with him getting a little breather and maybe not so much for oxygen, for energy, but to settle his mind. Thinking back, does that make sense to anybody?
Not the craziest idea in the world. And either one of those, whether it's fatigue or emotionally he looks frustrated, the fact that that's the situation with your star player late in a game tells you that he's not the player that everybody assumed he was going into this series.
See, I disagree with that. Not, let me clarify. In fact, I'm going to tease this one. We'll do the news real quick. I believe Milwaukee showing weakness, showing that they're not bulletproof, that this is not a freight train, to me is one of the most wonderful things of the sports year. Not because I'm going to probably win a lot of money from Fezzik, not because of anything other than this. It seems like more has changed in the sports world in the last 5, 6, 7 years, where as a guy in his mid-40s, there was all these adages. You don't draft a quarterback that's 5'7.5". You don't, you know, and you don't take a guy on TV and make him the GM. And all of a sudden, it feels like that analytics, in one hand, has debunked some faulty assumptions or some faulty, like, this is what everyone thinks is right. But it's also freed people up to ignore a lot of other adages that I think are well earned. And one of those adages is it's hard to get through the NBA playoffs all the way when you're so new to it. So we'll break down in just 1 minute, I think, some of the adages that's been ignored that shouldn't be, and the relief that, hey, maybe the NBA one that you can't just blaze through your first time through is still the case.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 15 minutes from now here on FSR, we will take a look ahead at Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals coming up on Saturday night. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Yeah, and when we look at that game, somehow, some way, Fez confirmed the market still believes Milwaukee's the better team. You're nodding on radio.
Yeah, because Toronto is laying 2.5, and their home court is worth 4. So think about that, because they're not favored by 4, Toronto. They're only favored by 2.5. So the market is still
saying. Yeah, so absolutely. The market's saying, well, did you say let's make it 90 seconds to explain that the line's 2.5? You know what's funny? We've been talking. It's like, Fez, when you have a complex point, you got to say it slowly because it's complex. And now he's gotten to where he wants to say like something that should take 10 seconds to like, it's going to take 40 seconds. It's like a seesaw, right? We got to find it. All right. It is shocking, I think, that somehow Milwaukee still is considered to be the better team because the line's 2.5 and it should be 4. Right, Fez?
Yes.
If we think about the rules that people typically consider adages, let's kind of look at a quick list here. Go for it on fourth down. Wow. You know, even 20 years ago, it was like on the other team's 39. It's like we're coffin corner, baby. Yeah. And this is one we haven't even said in the tease, that a coach who loses massively in college football, probably his next job shouldn't be a head coach in the NFL.
You would think that.
But no, that's some old fogey's way of thinking, right? And you don't take the 5'9 quarterback first in the draft. You don't say, you know, that guy on TV seems mighty smart. Now, listen, I feel very confident about a lot of things. If the Steelers said, you know, RJ, you sound pretty good on that radio. You want to be GM. I mean, I might do it and take that signing bonus, but I'm not going to be all that optimistic. So, I mean, and again, I'm not even saying that in individual cases, the whole thing of adages is it's not always right. If you go for it on fourth, sometimes you're going to make it. And I think that might be one that it's good that that was debunked. In fact, I'm certain if you look at the numbers based upon the super conservativeness of the past. Now, have we gone overboard? Maybe, right? But to me, one of the adages entering every NBA playoffs for as long as I can remember, and I've been in Vegas 21 years, was the idea that you know, first time through, you get used to the playoffs. Second time through, you go further. Third time, maybe you get to the conference finals. Fourth time, you bust through. Jordan did it. You think, in a way, the Pistons before that, the Jordan had to bust through, had to do that against the Lakers, right? And, I mean, there really is a sense, other than that Golden State team, even though they did make the playoffs under Mark Jackson, it's pretty much been the case. And to me, Milwaukee had all of the signs of a freight train. I mean, Brad, you've had over the last couple weeks three, four different stats that were like, you know, Milwaukee's in this on this list because of how good they've been. And like seven of the eight teams on this list won the title. So give me the all-star number one best one that would say, boy, would this be a shock if the Bucks don't win the title?
Yeah, so there's been eight teams in the history of the NBA that have won 45 or more games by double digits. So
all right, so you not only win, you win easily.
Yep. So there's been eight. The Milwaukee's the eighth team to do it. The previous seven teams to do that have all won the NBA Finals, RJ.
So literally, this will be the first time a team was that dominant.
Yep.
And doesn't win the finals.
Yep. First time ever.
So it really was a battle between, you know, and Fez, the Pythagorean, there's different pronunciations, theorem, the idea of point differential, Milwaukee's on the all-time list too.
Yeah,
regular season.
Yeah, Milwaukee outscored their opponents by 9 points per game. That puts them in the top 10 of all-time best NBA teams.
But now the question becomes, are we, obviously Milwaukee's the big underdog now. So series price.
Toronto's favored minus 230.
All right. So what we're saying is almost 70% of the time Toronto's going to win this series.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, we can't act like Milwaukee doesn't have a chance to come back, but they obviously are the underdog. My point is the margin of victory in game five, Brad, compared to Giannis's typical game versus Giannis's game in game five, was that literally the difference? And there's a stat when it comes to how Kawhi, the level of effectiveness he's having with Giannis, that's really almost hard to believe.
Yeah, so we talked about this earlier in the show. What has been the difference from game one and game two compared to what's happened the last three games? And one of the major reasons, if not the reason, Kawhi is guarding Giannis four times as much in the last three games as he was guarding Giannis in the first two games.
And how effectively has he done that?
Remarkably effective. Of the eight players that have guarded Giannis at least 100 times this season, Kawhi, by far, the most effective. Giannis's points per 100 possessions.
All right, so let's think about that a second. Is every time they're on that side of the court, it's an offensive possession, and they charted at this level of detail, it's Kawhi on
Giannis.
Giannis is, based on 100 possessions to even everything up, so, you know, everyone has a fair shot, how many points does Giannis score? So read just the first couple. Don't go through. And then the last one for giggles.
Yeah. So Giannis against Kawhi scores 15.9 points.
All right. 15.9 points per 100 possessions.
Next one, Blake Griffin. Giannis scores 31.2. So that's the difference between one and two.
Is literally, and we can probably keep it that simple. Literally, Giannis scores half as many points against Kawhi as any other defender that's defended him 100 or more possessions. By the way, let's give attribution there.
Yeah, Kirk Goldsberry had this on Twitter.
Yeah, great stuff. And oh, by the way, who was the last person on the list?
Embiid. Giannis scores 51 points in that scenario.
So 15 points per 100 against Kawhi. 50 points against Embiid, who's on his couch. But he also has tens of millions in the bank, so who are we to complain? When we come back, we're going to tell you that maybe the coach that people thought best in the NBA, or at least coach of the year type, is he getting out-coached? A lot of people think so. And picks on game six.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted, and it's money-making time here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. If you've been listening to Straight Outta Vegas long enough, you know that we have a love affair when it's not NFL season and he's not injured. Steve Fezzik isn't all that into Jimmy Garoppolo, but in fact, he's into one man, and that man belongs to the Toronto Raptors. That man is Fred VanVleet, who last night had a career-high playoff game in points. Here was some of it, courtesy of Raptors Radio.
Kawhi Leonard, free throw line, kicks out Freddie VanVleet. Yes, sir! Another one! 96-93. Fred's got seven triples tonight.
Freddie, you know, that brings up the interesting case, Fez. I'll give you 20 seconds. And it's so funny. You got your notes right out like a little student. This is from the heart, baby. This isn't about your notes. Quickly explain the love affair with VanVleet, because it really has befuddled the nation. Because up until recently, up until he made a mistake, it seems, it was like this guy was on the bench and you thought he was like, what was he, like the 11th most valuable player in the NBA or something?
Yep, Freddie and I have been going steady for about 18 months, RJ, where I was making the case about how undervalued Fred VanVleet was. I made the case he was worth a significant amount to this Toronto Raptor team.
I mean, sometimes you say like a point. Now, honestly, how many players, like when you were most in love with VanVleet, how many players in the NBA would you say were worth more points than him?
Oh, maybe 25.
So you thought that the guy on the bench was the 26th most valuable player in the NBA.
Exactly. They
say love is blind. Now, here's the question. This would be such an uplifting story if that's where it ended. But your capriciousness, your, you know, unrelenting self-interest, your critical nature, it all came to a head when VanVleet had some struggles like we all do in life.
10 consecutive horrible playoff games, RJ, where he shot 2-for-17 from three and 16% overall. And I dumped Freddie VanVleet
on air.
And I dumped him Monday while he was watching the birth of his son.
Yes.
That's cool.
And if Fez says, I don't want to hear about it. What's that kid? Is that kid making me any money? VanVleet, you're out of here. And somehow, some way, maybe because of the pressure of a national guy like you not caring anymore, he had his career game.
Career games. Games 4 and 5. He was plus 24 in both games.
All right. And also, we've got our bet. And if Toronto wins, I got some moolah coming my way. We'll talk about that after it happens so we can celebrate.
Guys, Klay Thompson was not a happy camper when the NBA's all-NBA teams came out yesterday and he found out he was not on either the first team, second team, or third team. While Klay Thompson is upset, RJ, what does Vegas make of the decision?
I got to be honest. I was fascinated, and here's why. He found out live while being recorded, and his reaction was as if you had said his lunch was 15 minutes late. In fact, if I was told my lunch was 15 minutes late, it might have been more worked up. And I'm telling you right now, I've seen Fezzik, I've seen Brad, where, and think about it yourself. You've got a bet, and you think it's locked up. It's one of those 99%ers, and then you see that you lost. The minute you realize that you lost, and let's say you've got $1,000 on it, it's a $2,100 swing. I get worked up 10x as much as he did for losing $31 million. Why? Because of the contract that he's able to get as the max is limited because he wasn't on. I don't know if he understood. If he understood what the consequences of that were, it's the most amazing thing I ever heard. I tell you, Fez, we only got 90 seconds. You got a pick in this one, and I like it. You like the under in the weekend game. So the total is?
212.5. We're going under.
Okay. Now, if you actually look at the last three games, and let's use three games because Kawhi, they made that change with Kawhi. And also that change is what the coach from Milwaukee hasn't been able to adjust to. A lot of criticism he's getting about that. Since that change, what's the scoring been per game?
On average, 219 points.
All right. So let me think. 219. this is 212, it sounds like over. What's the difference?
We're going to take out that double overtime, and taking that out, just regulation time, the average has only been 206 the last three games.
Oh, so everyone's just kind of looking at the averages, and they vaguely remember, oh, yeah, there was an overtime. Obviously, those points are not typical, and we're reaching the end of a series, and history tells us defense ramps up. What's the number?
Big time, it ramps up. Game sixes on average have been 6 points lower scoring than games one through five historically.
All right, so let's think about the math. 219 is our number. Take out the overtime. It's a sense to change with Kawhi. Goes down to 206. Now you take off 6 points because as you move to game six, history says minus 6 points. That's 200. Total's 212 and a half. Fez says under. And he's bet it with his own money. And I hope you win so you don't have problems paying me when Toronto finishes this series.
The Odd Couple is next. We are Straight Out of Vegas back on Mondays, or back on Tuesday, rather, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.